First reading today comes from the second book of Maccabees. And the setting behind this reading begins when Alexander the Great and the Greeks conquered a huge empire, and they conquered the Holy Land. And they were trying to force their religious beliefs and their cultural customs on everyone in their empire in order to unite their empire. And so in Israel, they made it illegal to practice the faith. If children were circumcised and brought into the covenant, they and their mothers would be executed. Anyone who resisted their attempts to force people to eat pork would be put to death. They would, they desecrated the temple in Jerusalem. And so the Jews, the faithful Jews who resisted this were certainly put to the test, and they were persecuted. And so that's where we get to the first reading today, where we have this mother with seven sons, and they're trying to force them to eat pork. And one by one, they have this mother watch them torture and execute her sons. And they go through the first six sons, and they're all executed. And then when it comes time for the seventh son, they talk to the mother, and they say, "Talk to your son. You know, convince him just to eat pork, and he can live." And so at first she refused, but eventually she said to him, "Okay, I'll talk to my son." And she goes up to her son, and in her native language, which the Greeks couldn't understand, she said to him, "Look at the heavens and the earth, and know that the same God who created them created you." She said, "My son, accept death, that in God's mercy I may have you back again." What she was saying is, she knew that there is a resurrection of the body, and that if her son bravely faced death and was executed, she had the hope that they would one day be reunited for all eternity in the resurrection. And if her son renounced the faith, he would not attain the resurrection, and so he would be lost. And so her final words to her son are to die with courage. That's a mother right there. We can almost see a foreshadowing of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the foot of the cross of her son, willingly allowing the death of her son to go on with faith in the resurrection. But what gave these young men, and what gave this mother who was then executed after her seven children, what gave them the courage to face such horrible tortures? It was belief in the resurrection. They knew that even if they lost the things of this world, even their very life, that the Lord would bring them back again. As the one son said, if they cut out his tongue, the Lord will give him his tongue back in the resurrection. They can cut off his hands, but he'll get them back in the resurrection. And so that gave them the courage, because they knew that there is nothing in this world worth sacrificing eternal life for. And so they bravely went to their death. This story is not one that's just relegated to the past, but it echoes throughout every generation of human history. Because in every generation, Christians are called to make sacrifices for the faith. It's never easy. And there's always going to be persecution against Christ and his church. We can see that in the modern day with the victims of jihad in the Middle East, the victims of ISIS, Christians, women, children, men, elderly, getting crucified and killed brutally, and yet they still die professing their faith in Christ. A couple weeks ago in October, Pope Francis canonized St. Jose Sanchez del Rio. He was a saint from Mexico. In the early 1900s, around the 1920s, President Calles, who was a Freemason, was trying to exterminate the Catholic faith from Mexico. And so this brutal persecution of Christians was going on, and it led to a revolt called the Cristero War. But St. Jose was part of that revolt, and he was captured, and he was brutally tortured over the period of several days. And as he was being tortured, his torturer said to him, "Simply say, 'Death the Christ the King,' and we will torture you no more. Just say the words." And he refused. So eventually they lacerated the bottoms of his feet and forced him to walk over salt. And then they forced him, when he didn't renounce the faith, to walk several miles to a cemetery where they had an open grave. Took him to the edge of the grave and gave him one last chance to say "Death to Christ." And his response was "Vivo Cristo Rey." Y viva Santa Virgen de Guadalupe. And he lost his life at that moment. He died a boy of 14 years old. But he now reigns for all eternity with the red crown of martyrdom in the glory of heaven. This young man had the faith to give his life at 14 years of age for Jesus Christ. And it's a witness to all of us, the example of courage that they set and the example of belief in the resurrection is an example for us that there is nothing in this world worth losing our salvation over. Some people might think that this could never happen in the United States because we're the land of the free. But keep in mind that it was the United States that put President Callas into power in Mexico in order to eliminate the Catholic faith from Mexico. Keep in mind it was the U.S. military and U.S. aid that was backing the military of Mexico as they went through slaughtering Catholics. This was under President Woodrow Wilson. In 1 month in Mexico, there were 160 priests assassinated. News came to the Wilson administration, and his advisor, John Lind, rejoiced over the news. He said, "Great news. The more priests they kill in Mexico, the happier I shall be." So don't think this is something that can't come to the United States. You know, just recently we've seen in the WikiLeaks scandal that there's people in high positions in our government and influential offices, even people running in the current election, who are actively trying to attack and undermine the Catholic Church. They call us backwards for our beliefs. They said there needs to be a Catholic spring in which Catholics themselves demand an end to the Middle Ages dictatorship and the beginning of a little democracy. Well, the Catholic Church is not a dictatorship, but we are a monarchy, and we have a king, and his name is Jesus Christ, and we will be faithful to him. These people in high offices have founded groups called the Catholic of an Alliance for the Common Good and other groups that are seeking to undermine the Catholic faith. And what they're doing is they're trying to turn lay people against their bishops. They're trying to create a division within the church so that lay Catholics will revolt against their bishops and throw off the teachings of the Catholic Church. So we need to be aware that these things are happening in the United States. September 14th, 2016, the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, bipartisan group, issued a report on religious liberty, and they made several recommendations. One thing they said is throughout history, religious doctrines accepted at one time later become viewed as discriminatory, with religions changing accordingly. They're saying our beliefs as Catholics are discriminatory and they need to change. They say, without exemptions, groups would not use the pretext of religious doctrines to discriminate, meaning as Catholics, we would not be able to live out our faith according to our beliefs, but we must follow the government policies. And they go on to say a doctrine that distinguishes between beliefs, which should be protected, and conduct, which should conform to the law, is fairer and easier to apply. So what they're saying is you can believe whatever you want, but in your behavior, you do what the U.S. government tells you to do. And if that means violating the teachings of your faith, you will do it. So this is a bipartisan group. You know, so we have to be aware that in the United States, we can't be guaranteed that persecution is not going to come. And in a country where the little sisters of the poor, who simply want to live in poverty, and they run nursing homes for people who are too poor to afford nursing care, if they can be brought to testify by the U.S. government before the Supreme Court, if it can happen to the little sisters of the poor, it can happen to anyone. And so we have to realize that as Christians, we might be called to give an account for our faith. And we have to be courageous, and sometimes that might require sacrifice. What's used against people is a fear of losing things to this world, a fear of losing the esteem of others, a fear of losing our money, a fear of being fined, a fear of losing our jobs, a fear of being thrown in prison, or perhaps even losing life itself. But there's nothing in this world worth sacrificing our salvation over. You know, we might not personally be faced with government coercion. We might be, maybe not, but there's other lesser forms as well. You know, we just look at our sports teams that try and pull people away from Sunday Mass and don't allow people to go to Mass on Sundays. Which is more important, the sports team or the resurrection? You know, sometimes there's peer pressure to sin. We have to be courageous and we have to realize in our actions that we can't just look at the present moment, but we have to look forward to the resurrection. And we have to make sure that we live in a way that when we leave this world, we're found pleasing to our Lord. And so I'll end with the words for us that the mother gave to her son. Remember the heavens and the earth and the God who created them. He is also the God who brought each one of us into existence. Be courageous and be faithful to him. May the grace of this Eucharist give us the strength to always be faithful to Christ. Saint Jose Sanchez del Rio, pray for us.